Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. A couple of things that Dr. Davidson said during his messages that really got me thinking about this. Because in the fourth chapter of Mark, or Matthew, you'll notice those first 10 verses that are given to the temptations of Christ. You come to the 11th verse, of course, and then the devil leaveth him. But you look at verse number 12. And now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And we certainly heard about that from our other preacher in this meeting. It says, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You come to verse number 18, and it talks about Jesus walking there by the seaside of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, notice that, left their nets and followed him. And there you have, of course, Peter and Andrew coming to follow the Lord. Probably the most well-known disciple of the Savior was Peter. And if I was to ask you, what is Peter most known for in the Scripture? I don't know what you would say. Well, let me ask you this. How many, now be honest with me, and don't be a Baptist. Be a Christian. Because you ask a Baptist to vote on anything, and they sit there looking at you like a bullfrog in the hailstorm. How many got hit with hail last night, incidentally? Did you get hail? Man, that was something. We didn't have it down at the hotel. If we did, I was asleep. Of course, that's when I go to bed. I go to bed to sleep. I don't go to bed to do anything else but sleep. I mean, if it hails, let it hail. I have one bad ear, and so I've learned if I sleep on my good ear, I don't hear anything, and that's why. But how many would say that Peter, as far as you're concerned, probably the best well-known thing is the way that he fell short when he needed to stand up for the Savior. Lord, I'll never forsake you. And yet, not shortly, but after that statement, he thought. How many would say that's what you remember? Okay. So I see some of you are being Baptist. How many would say something else? Hold your hand up. Okay, that's good, but you've been outvoted. And because usually, that's exactly what happens. And to it, in a sense, that's kind of sad. Because Peter did have that failure in his Christian life, in his spiritual life. But the thing I say there is, to me though, it just seems to be a shame how oftentimes when we think of people, we think about the mistakes, you know, the wrong decisions that they have made. Now, I'm not saying that we want to just gloss over them. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that thank God, when you continue reading about Peter, you'll see that God didn't cast him off. Amen. As a matter of fact, I majored in history in college. Well, I double majored. I double majored, and I was going to double minor, but I refused to take one class. I had to take a course in statistics, and the professor that was teaching it couldn't count past the numbers on his hands because that's all the fingers he had, but that's another story. And so I lacked one course of having a minor in psychology. I had another minor in English. But and I wanted to do that because I didn't plan to go to seminary. I planned to go to college because, like I've already said this week, I wanted to get out of college before I was a I wanted to be preaching before I was a grandfather. And but in history, if you look at the history of this country, Thank God Lincoln didn't quit the first time he lost an election. I mean, Lincoln ran for just about everything except dog catcher, and he got defeated several times before he was elected president of the United States. And you know, you think about that. What about George W. Carver? George W. Carver was a slave. And you start looking at his latter, his latter life. And thank God that he didn't let being a slave keep him from coming and becoming a great man in our country's history. Now, I understand he was a black man, but he was a soul created by God. And we need to remind ourselves of that more often sometimes than what we do. One thing I found out when I had my first trip to Africa back in 1984, and I flew from, I had stopped off in Ireland and England to see missionaries that we had in Ireland, missionaries that we had in England. And then we flew from London to Paris, and from Paris into Bangui, Central African Republic, and arrived there about 10 o'clock at night. And when we deplaned, of course, they don't have jetways there. You came down steps, you know. And here's this balcony just full of black people. I mean, all you saw was black. But there in the middle, right on that front row, was two white folks, Brother and Mrs. Harold Dark, our missionaries. Two white folks never looked so good to me in all my life. But the thought struck me then, you know, these two precious souls have given themselves to come to this country and tell all these black people about the love of God. And I honestly, my respect for them just absolutely, it just exploded. Because they were, and I had never considered that. And God showed me through that situation that black folks need Jesus just as much as white folks. Now, I believe there needs to be sensibleness there. I understand that. This idea of mixed marriage, I'm going to be preaching against it till Jesus comes or I go home to be with him. Now, that isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen if I have anything to say about it. Now, you might disagree with that. And when I get to heaven and you get to heaven, you will find out that I've been right and you've been wrong. And we'll still love each other, okay? But I say all that. I say all that to remind us that God can use anybody if we will only let him. And so what I want to do tonight, and I'm going to be quick because I want to hear Doc tonight, because I can't wait to see what I'm going to get from him tonight. It's going to be another blessing to me. But I want to give you four simple thoughts this evening, and I'll be done here probably no later than 7:30. I can tell you that right now. But I want to give you four simple thoughts tonight that comes out of this scripture when we read here, and he saith unto him, follow me, and I will make thee fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Because when you look at the life of one who is known and is recognized by many, many people for a great failure that he's had in his life. And then you start looking at him later in his life and you see how he was used in such a wonderful way. That speaks to my heart, because that says, regardless of where we have been in our life, if we will open our eyes to what the Word of God says, and we allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts as we hear the Word of God, God can do the same thing in our lives. And then if you're sitting here tonight and you're like this row of young men and young ladies sitting here in what I call the spitting zone, and it's so impressive to see you sitting, well, that I just bless my heart. But this can help you to understand that you, because of the age you are, if you'll be wise to listen to the Word of God and obey the Spirit of God, you can avoid all of that in your life. You have a whole life yet to live before you that can be used for God's honor and for God's glory. See, I will never be able to say I had that opportunity. I'll never be able to say that. I heard Dr. Davidson say he accepted Christ at the age of 6. When he said that, I mean, my heart just jumped. If I could have only been saved at the age of 6. See? If I could have only had that experience. But that wasn't God's plan for my life. I understand that. I'm not angry or bitter about it or anything. I understand that. But I'm just trying to get you to see what the possibility is, what the potential is that sits here in this auditorium tonight, regardless of how old you are and regardless of where you're coming from. That's the thing I'm trying to get you to see. Now, here's the four things I want to show you very quickly. What was it? What was it that was present there in Peter's life that allowed him to make such a tremendous failure, to experience such a tremendous failure as he did when he simply denied the Lord? But then later on, you read in his life, you read how God is just really using him in an amazing way, especially when you get to Acts chapter 2 and you read that sermon. I mean, to tell you, he backed up the truck, pushed the button, and dropped the whole load on those Jews. He really did. And what I see, of course, first of all, that when he the scripture says, and straightway they left their nets and followed him, well, he genuinely did accept Christ as his Savior. Matter of fact, you sang the song tonight, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What does Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says in my King James Bible, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's not of works, it's a gift. And so Peter had experienced salvation experience because he was saved by faith through the grace of God. And so if you are a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, never forget, never forget that you have been bought, you have been purchased by the shed blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and you have become a new creature. When Ed Johnson got saved August 17, 1952, I became a new creature. Matter of fact, Paul made that statement when he wrote the saints in Corinth, the second letter to the saints of Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:17. What does he say? We have become what? New creatures. We are a new creature in Christ. So he was a man. He was a man of faith. You see, the first step in the work of God that an individual must know and understand, you must know you've been saved. You're a saved child of God. Your faith is a real faith. So faith is very important to the child of God. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're wondering, you know, can God use me? Yes, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God can use you. Well, wait a minute, Brother Johnson, you don't know what's happened in my life since I accepted Christ. Well, I might not know what's happened in your life, but God does. And God knew what had happened in Peter's life. And when Peter failed, did God cast him off? No, God didn't cast him off. Take your Bible and turn over to Matthew chapter 26 with me. And let's look at that for just a few minutes this evening, because in chapter 26, and you begin reading in that 69th verse, and we're not going to take time to read it, but I want to come down to the latter part there of that particular passage that deals with his failure, his denial. And we look at verse number 74, and he said he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, just as God had told him it would. And verse number 75 says, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus when he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. See, he had not only experienced faith in God, but he also experienced the forgiveness of God. As I said the other night, if we confess our sins, beloved, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you have sinned and confessed that sin to God, then get it out of the way. Don't let it continue to hang over you and cause you to miss what God has for you. It doesn't compute. It doesn't measure up to what the Word of God says. Yes, Peter denied the Lord. I understand that. But he denied him, but he also acknowledged that atrocious sin. He had to have experienced the forgiveness of God for God to do in Acts chapter 2 what he did in his life. Because the third word that I want you to put down is the filling of the Spirit of God. He didn't fill him with the Spirit of God if he was living in sin. It's sin in our lives that blocks us from knowing the blessings and the best that God has for us. But as I said just a moment ago, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I know some people, I know some men that have stumbled just like Peter did. I know men in my ministry of now a half a century almost, I know some men that stammer in their testimony, you know. And fear sometimes just overcomes them. I could take the next 30 minutes here and give illustrations of individual men that were in our church. Men I called members of First Baptist Church, they called me their pastor. But it was because of fear that they would not be that witness, they would not be that testimony that they needed to be in the work world in which they were living. They just for some reason it was blocked. But I still believe to this day, as I told several of them when I was pastoring them, listen, if you'll give your life to God and you'll know in your heart and in your life that you're right with God, and you'll ask God to fill you, and you'll ask God to encourage you, and you will ask God to use you, God will do it. He will simply do it. God doesn't tell us something in the Bible that he'll do and then not you know be willing to do it. You know, again, it's not rocket science. And so he experienced because what he did was wrong, but because of his faith in Christ and because he confessed that sin, he knew the forgiveness of God, and because he had experienced the forgiveness of God, we come to Acts chapter 2 and we find him experiencing the filling of the Spirit of God. To where we're not going to take time to go, well, let's take just a minute and go over there. But look at Acts chapter 2 with me just for a second. And look at that second chapter, and let's notice what the scripture says in verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation in heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak. And notice that in their own language. It wasn't some babbling that was going on. They were listening to the word of God in their own language, just like the Bible says. It's not rocket science. And then you read on and you see here where Peter then all of a sudden in verse number 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken unto my words. And then he goes on in verse 15 and says, for there are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And he goes on, and you pick up with verse number 22, when he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself know. And he goes on, and I mean, just literally blisters those people with the word of God. Why? Because he has experienced the filling of the Spirit of God. He had experienced that. And then when he experienced that filling, then comes our next word that you'll see here through this little study that we're making in the life of Peter this evening. You'll see the next word that comes all of a sudden to the forefront of his life, and that's the word what I would call, you see, his forwardness. Because when God did his work in the life of Simon Peter, he became an aggressive servant of God. He pressed on. Matter of fact, history tells us that he would not be crucified the same way the Savior was. He was crucified upside down. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that there have been people who have stated that that our church history does teach that in the ages past. But you stop and you just think about that. He came to a place in his life because he knew what he had to do, and he did it because he was walking in the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. And if we could capture the significance of that in our churches, I believe today we could still see at least regional or local revivals in our churches today. I don't believe God has totally, completely shut off the United States of America. There is still a body of godly people in this nation that love God and want to see God do a work in hearts and lives. I believe it with all my soul. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing at the age of 81 if I didn't believe that. I wouldn't be doing it. But because I do believe that, and because God has filled me with that truth, and he's empowered me, and he's given me the energy to do it, I'm going to do it till Jesus comes or I go to be with him. As long as that energy is there. Why? Because I believe it. We can still see God shake this nation. Bless God, there's nothing that God that saved me can not do. I refuse to believe that God cannot still shake this nation for God. At least, as I say, on a local or on a regional basis. And that's because of what we see taking place here in the life of Simon Peter. So, someone said, I wish I could remember who said this. It was when I was a student at Tennessee Temple. And every year we had, in the fall, we had a missions conference. And there'd be 40 missionaries that would come. Now, I never agreed with this. This is one thing that Dr. Roberts and I didn't agree with. Because he brought some missionaries there. Well, he brought some mission agencies there that I could just never have endorsed. I just couldn't have done it. But I wasn't going to stand before God and give an account for Highland Park, so I didn't let that kill me. But we had the missions conference in the fall. And then in the winter, in January, we had what he called a winter Bible conference. And he brought in, you know, the well-known Bible teachers of that particular time period. And I think it was somebody that was there. I'm not sure who it was. I better not say that because I'm not sure it was him. But anyhow, He made this statement, and I wrote it down, and I thought about it, and I've kept it over the years. And when I was looking at this particular passage of Scripture, and I jotted down this simple little Bible lesson that I'm doing here tonight, I thought that it would be appropriate as we think of those four words. You know, we think of the faith of Peter, and we think of God and working in his heart and in his life and what God did there. And then you go on and you see, you know, his forgiveness, and you go on and you see, you know, his filling. And then you come now to his forwardness. But this individual said this. He said, in the world in which we are living, he said, you always want to remember. He said, there's going to be a group who will make things happen. He said, you will understand that. And he said, the local church will always have some people in that church that will make some things happen. And then he said, but you got to also remember that there will be people there who watch things happen. And then he said, but here's the other side you always got to remember. He said, most churches, the overwhelming majority of those people have no idea as to what's happening. Now we laugh at that, but now think with me for just a minute. And if you look at the average church, you'll see that to be true. But I don't like to think of Blessed Hope Baptist Church as being the average church. See, I don't want to go down that road. I don't know everything about churches, but I've preached in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches. I've got records of every place I preach. It's recorded. The message is recorded. The date is recorded that I preach it. And it's all on file. That's why I've never preached the same message in the same church one time. And when you keep coming back to churches like you do on a regular basis, you better do that. So I don't look at Blessed Hope Baptist Church as the average church. But I don't think that Blessed Hope Baptist Church has still reached its total potential. And my final admonition to you folks tonight, and I love you all dearly. Matter of fact, if I still didn't have my heart in Rosemont, and my heart is there, I've got to be honest and say that. That's where God literally captured Ed Johnson. I didn't go there to stay. I was going to do a 2-year term as a foreign missionary, and I was getting out as quick as I could. And as I said the other night, the first year, if I had gas money, I wouldn't have stayed too. But God broke Ed Johnson in Rosemont, Minnesota. Ellie and I have both made, that's where we're going to be buried. We're going to be buried in Rosemont. But if my heart wasn't in Rosemont, I could feel at home in this church just as long as there would be life in my body. So I love you all dearly. But folks, we're living in a world, and you are living in a world, where there are lost people all around us. I've seen them here. The little lady that I told you I'm praying for, she's got a report that she has cancer. She's a troubled lady. You've got neighbors that are lost and going to hell. And by the grace of God, ask God to help you to be one of those people who are making something happen. There's things you can do. There's places you can be. I thank God for what you are doing. Would to God that every church I know of was doing what you are doing. But you haven't reached your potential. You haven't done it. God's given you a wonderful young pastor. My. He's just a man of God. And so whatever in the world you do in the time that we do have left, purpose in your heart, God help me to be a part of the church that you've put me in that's going to make something happen. That's my challenge to you on this message tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer.